Anyways, Stan Shenqingqiu. Written by X-Loss. Narrated by Rhea 3-1-4. Fandom, the scum villain self-saving system, by Mo Xiang Tongxiu. Rating, teen and up audiences, no archive warnings apply. Relationships, Luo Binghe / Shen Yuan, aka Shen Qingqiu. Shen Yuan, aka Shen Qingqiu, and original character. Panting, Takumi Miho took the gorge at a hard run. She vaulted over it, hoping to put some distance between herself and her pursuer. Unfortunately, the man drew his sword without pausing for even a moment. The blade hung in midair, catching the glint of the sun and dazzling Miho. With a signal, he sent it whipping out before him, even as he himself surged forward. By virtue of its palpable spiritual energy, the Jian hovered above the canyon drop. The man leapt after it. The toe of his white-booted foot only touched the blade. That alone was enough to support his Qingong-fueled jump. His body rose in a graceful arc, then seemed to float down towards her. The wind whipped his green and cream robes and his jet-black hair out behind him. Time itself seemed to distend, that Takumi Miho might better appreciate his artistry and the ephemeral perfection of this moment. Show off? Miho thought. Christ, what an asshole. This doesn't have to be such a production, the man said, calling his sword back to him with an idle roll of his wrist. He was, of course, the very picture of an immortal cultivator. In fact, her pursuer was the quintessence of the type, to the extent that it seemed to have been patterned off his example rather than the reverse. Ageless beauty without parallel, Tao incarnate, like a perfect painting of a man, blah, blah, blah. Characterization probably ran thin out here in the margins of both the Doyleist story and the Watsonian setting. Honestly, fuck the mysterious Morokoshi arc. I am sure that to you the idol is a few pounds of jade, and so perhaps a month's worth of meals. The cultivator continued, advancing. To the villagers it is irreplaceable. There are better ways to solve your problems, and if you won't give the idol back, I'm afraid I'll have to take it from you. Miho sneered and drew her katana. So what if he had a good character design? No way was this mob extra actually capable of taking her down. She just had to scare him off, knock him about a bit, and then be on her way. The cheeky fucker rolled his eyes at her. It was only then that Miho noticed that the stranger's sword hadn't actually returned to its sheath when he'd retrieved it. In fact, it had slipped around with that irritating flash quickness cultivators sometimes employed, and was now poised at her neck. So, that was happening. Rookie mistake, the man lamented with a shake of his head. Who let you run about so underbaked? Miho swallowed. Okay, so, the thing is, I don't actually have the idol on me anymore. The man gave her an unimpressed look. He tapped his fingers on his fan guard. His sword, still poised at Miho's neck, actually cut through the very first layer of her skin. He clearly had fine control over the blade, but if she breathed too hard, or made a sudden movement, that Jian could slice her windpipe clean through. And the thing was, Miho had never been in danger like this, yet. Not since she'd come to this world. Not even before that, really. She'd had a pretty uneventful youth. In fact, the only time she'd ever faced anything like this, she'd died. Her head lopped off neatly in an instant by a wire she'd been hurled into at speed when the car had crashed. When her body had careened out of the seat and right over the side of the high mountain road. When she'd flailed at nothing, 100 feet in the air. When the fall would certainly have killed her if the power line hadn't done the job first. Fuck, Miho whispered in her own language, panic sweeping through her in an instant. Fuck, I've only been in this shitty, ridiculous world 3 stupid months. I don't fucking know what I'm doing. I didn't ask for any of this isekai bullshit, or to be sent on this stupid fucking side quest, or to be hunted down by some NPC cultivator. I can't believe I'm going to die in a jidaigeki. The cultivator regarded Miho composedly throughout the whole of her doubtless incomprehensible babbling session, then sighed. "Technically," he said in creaky, somewhat stilted Japanese, "it's a xianxia, so it's transmigration novel bullshit." The profanity emerged from the cultivator's perfect mouth like droppings from a beautiful dove that had been Disney princess perched on your finger when it had decided to answer the call of nature. Miho blinked at him. "What?" "Nani?" The cultivator parroted back bitchily. A lazy wave of his hand brought his sword zipping obediently into its scabbard. "There's one I haven't heard in a while." The cultivator marched forward, grabbing Miho by the neck of her robes and shaking her like a cat might a disobedient kitten. He was twig-thin, but somehow ridiculously strong. Back at it again with the cultivator cheat codes. "Now listen very carefully," the man said, capturing Miho's gaze with his intense dark eyes. "Because this is vitally important. I need you to tell me what happens in the conclusion of Naruto. Be as careful and precise as you can. Frame by frame would be best." It seemed that Miho was not quite done blinking. Sir, that finished like 9 years ago in, I think it was November 2014. Where did you even leave off?" "Unimportant," the cultivator said, shaking his head. "Start from the beginning of the 2014 Shonen Jump run. That way I'll be able to evaluate your recap skills and takes as you go." Miho saw in the man's eyes the desperation of an otaku who had started reading the series in 1999 and had, at the very last moment, been cruelly sundered from his weekly issues. She swallowed. "So, let me try and..." Right, okay. "You know Kakashi's former teammates?"
"The one who turned out to be Obito Uchiha."
The cultivator nodded. "Continue." The mysterious, transmigrated cultivator had some follow-up questions. Actually, he had a lot of follow-up questions. His Japanese grew much more fluid as they spoke, as though he was remembering it. In another life, he'd begun reading Naruto in translation when he was 9. He'd conned his sweet, credulous parents into believing he needed them to pay for extracurricular Japanese lessons in order to facilitate his non-existent plans for an eventual career in business. Once he was relatively proficient in the language, he switched over to a wholesale supplier, as it were. Unfortunately, having seriously sunk his costs here, having broken the pot that was his wallet and burned the boat that was years of his time, he had died shortly after turning 24, leaving behind only 1. His unfinished, unexciting even to him, graduate thesis on the narratological and ludic strategies of online fiction. 2. A box his little sister found and threw away, contents, my first dildo, before their parents could clean out the place, because they had a mutual agreement in place, and brother and sisterhood transcends even death. And 3. Over 20 web novel subscriptions, which it took his parents months to figure out how to cancel. Privately, the transmigrated cultivator reluctantly acknowledged that his deep investment in Naruto and Sasuke's friendship took on a slightly different coloration in retrospect, given that he himself was now happily married to a vengeful, sexily blackened but now redeemed bad boy. To think that he would have ranted about how underwhelming this ending was for years without ever realizing why this particular lack of satisfying closure bothered him. Embarrassing. Having thus pondered the vicissitudes of fate, the cultivator turned back to his sort of captive, the young lady he'd remembered to release from his grasp at some point during her recounting of the second March issue.
"Now do bleach," he said.
Miho groaned. "Seriously? Because you are not gonna like that one any better. Who the fuck even are you?" The cultivator waved his fan in a lax circle.
"Tough question, as you might have guessed. But let's say, Senshinchou."
Takami Miho snorted. Her eyes widened, however, when she realized he was serious. "No fucking way." Senshinchou frowned.
"What's so weird about that?" Then an intimation of the horrible and thus almost inevitable truth came upon him. Oh, no. You're Shen Qingqiu, Miho pressed. The Lord of Qingding, the Xiuya Sword, the Empress of the Demonic Realms?
Yes.
Shen Qingqiu cleared his throat. Well, the Uke protagonist of Resentment of Chunshan.
And there it was.
Of course, Chunshan had to spread to Japan, only to be taken up faster and more thoroughly than matcha powder had been. Why the fuck wouldn't it have? Shen Qingqiu decided to observe his standard, procedural response to reminders of the existence of this text. He simply pretended not to have heard that sentence, in hopes of making whoever had been unwise enough to refer to it believe that they themselves had only thought about it rather than managing to mention it aloud. Only for the past 9 years, Shen Qingqiu offered, feeling it wrong to take credit for Shen Qingqiu's accomplishments. Shen Qingqiu had tried to discharge his duties better than the original goods had managed, but bastard though the poor wretch had been, it was Shen Qingqiu whose cultivation prowess and mastery of the arts had actually earned the Xiuya Sword, his spiritual tool, fame, and position.
So you're the one who sealed the rift between the realms, Takami Miho said, with real awe in her voice, which Shen Qingqiu found very disconcerting, actually. You unmasked the treachery behind the attempt to murder the last demonic emperor and helped to cure the Jinlang plague, and in Song of Vingqiu, they say you took a whole bottle of wine right up your—
I think you are aware that those accounts are highly fictionalized,
Shen Qingqiu snapped, twisting his closed fan in his hands.
For fuck's sake, this whole place used to be a YY.
And now it's a BL, an impressed Takami Miho said, nodding like she was getting it. Because you, like, transmigrated and changed the whole fucking genre by making the main villain fall in love with you. Ya buy shit, dude.
Shen Qingqiu's head snapped up. Luo Bingha, he hissed, is the protagonist, and it's Danmei.
Seeming to fully take in what he'd just said a moment after he'd said it, Shen Qingqiu was unable to process the conversation further. His shoulders slumped, and he literally facepalmed. A big badass with even bigger drama queen energy. Miho could vibe with it. So he was sensitive about his seimei half. Fine. She'd consider the subject closed. Like a bookstore that had sold clean out of pirated translations of Resentment. Miho switched tacks. Listen, senpai. Isekai-sensei. The idol thingy's back at my inn, under the mattress. I'll return it to the village just as soon as I've used it to get into the Cave of Endless Reflections. The statue is like the MacGuffin to open the sealed door. You know, it's the glazed armor, as your people might call it. I need to get into that cave, grab the ice blade, power up a bit, and then hop back on a boat to not Kyoto yet. Shen Qingqiu raised an eyebrow at her.
Unfortunately, it isn't.
Takami Miho frowned. Isn't the MacGuffin, you mean? Nah, bro, the village elder definitely said.
She meant that the idol unlocked spiritual doors within you, idiot.
Shen Qingqiu huffed.
Trust me, the Cave of Endless Reflections can only be opened with the lost jade idol of the burnt village of Kuvan. Ask me how I know.
How do you... Oh my god, that was rhetorical. First off, the lost jade idol of the burnt village with a Vietnamese place name, and we're in Fantasy Hubei. So, like, good luck with all of that. Second, Luo Bingha, the protagonist of this world, discovered the lost idol in the original novel by accident in the treasure hoard of the Black Benefactor, who destroyed Kuovan years ago for turning its back on him as its protective spirit. It was a poignant parallel with Bingha's own moral corruption, and I'm frankly surprised that one of the few times Airplane very nearly managed a good arc didn't stick with you. Third and foremost, my fuckboy-in-law has the ice blade in this timeline because he's retired, which means that whenever he gets bored, he completes Bingha's side quests. Tianlongtun's using the ice blade to make daiquiris, which I should never have gotten drunk on pear blossom wine and told him about. You think pear blossom wine tastes like pears, Miho?
Doesn't it?
Wrong. The pear season is just when they ferment the rice malt. Pear blossom wine tastes like shit. Look, how much do you need the ice blade specifically? Because Tianlangjun is going to be just insufferable if it goes missing. Man loves his piña coladas, and getting caught in the rain.
Takami Miho puffed up her cheeks, considering the question, then exhaled slowly. I mean, I'm supposed to come back with a blade with a blue sheen and some kind of ice powers. I can't really get around that one.
Shen Qingqiu snorted. Is that all? Wobei Jun has about 1,000 ice blades in his armory. You can probably even get one katana weighted, if you give his smiths the length of a training montage. And you'll get to meet Airplane Dada. If that's any inducement. Not that it should be.
Before Takami Miho could voice further questions, Shen Qingqiu realized he'd entirely forgotten to ask,
So what year was it 3 months ago, when you left?
Left, eh? That was a polite way of putting it.
It's 2023, she answered.
So if you've been here 9 years, then I guess time's passing at the same rate.
Huh. It wasn't always. And people are still reading Kuang'ao Xianmo Tu.
Shen Qingqiu looked Takami Miho up and down.
No offense, but really?
See? Miho pointed at him. I've been meaning to ask you, who the fuck is Airplane? And what are any of those sounds you just made?
She understood Middle Chinese, not whatever that had been.
Proud immortal demon Wei, he tried.
The Dark Lord's wild corruption, from Wubi to Chunibyo. The rise and rise of the Sky Pillar and the demon attached to it. I don't know what you'll ever title it. You know, the web novel we're living in.
No, it's not?
Takami Miho tilted her head to look at him, reminding Shen Qingqiu of nothing so much as a Princess Mononoke forest spirit.
First off, she parried Shen Qingqiu's rant, what the fuck is a YY? Second, this isn't even a web novel, it's a shoujo manga.
I know, because I edited it.
Shen Qingqiu's brow furrowed.
You're suggesting that you transmigrated into this world, but simultaneously into an entirely different plot? A different medium and a third discrete genre?
Shen Qingqiu bit his lip, considering it.
What's your story, then?
Takami Miho plopped down on the grass and crossed her legs under her. Shen Qingqiu took the opportunity to perch elegantly on a convenient boulder. How sure was this guy that he wasn't the localized protagonist? Look at Gay Wizard Ancient China over here just giving out free boulders whenever Shen Qingqiu needed to rest the rear-end bits of Chunshan without mussing his overcomplicated robes.
Miho gave him the broad outline, which involved certain important foreigners whose existence Shen Qingqiu had heard of without ever particularly marking. He was confident they'd never been mentioned in Proud Immortal Demon Wei, but neither had he clocked their recent rise as all that strange. They seemed of a piece with the world he lived in.
Cultivators got name-checked as a thing over in the West, Takami Miho said. But they only came up in passing. I don't know if I was supposed to run into any. This quest was really vague in the manga. I'm off-screen, you know?
And you're certain the writer didn't read Proud Immortal Demon Wei either? Shen Qingqiu pressed, unlikely as the prospect of an old-hand professional shoujo mangaka taking up Airplane's finest seemed.
She'd have told me, Miho insisted. We talked about her influences a lot. The spiciest she got was Rumiko Takahashi. She found Madoka Magica disrespectful to the genre.
Shen Qingqiu tisked with disapproval. Oh, come on. It's a natural outgrowth of Xunbo's previous works. And the genre-critical strains present in even, like, Pretty Cure.
That's what I said, Takami Miho agreed.
in my head, silently, because I was only a junior editor fresh out of school, and she is a pillar of the industry.
Shen Qingqiu considered. So maybe at some point, bits and pieces of Proud Immortal Demon Wei entered the popular consciousness, because the Iceblade arc was very nearly good. Just the sort of thing someone with more time or artistic integrity than Airplane had at his disposal would want to polish up. At second or third hand, your mangaka could know it without knowing it.
Then all my story has to be is compatible, Miho asked.
Right. Since Binghe isn't bothering to take over the entire world this time, all you'd need is a line or two about cultivators, maybe one mention of a demonic emperor off in... What are you calling us?
Morokoshi.
Shen Qingqiu snorted. I mean, I guess that's fair, given we're all using Dongyang.
Oh, come on, not even Dongying. Disrespectful, dude.
But that's the thing, isn't it?
Shen Qingqiu mused, tapping his fan guard against his lips and trying to process the fact that he wasn't living in a semi-private transmigration novel anymore.
People call it Dongyang. This is a whole world. It has its own power flows. There are international relations.
Takami Miho frowned, rolling her shoulders. I mean, don't you think you're exaggerating a little? Major characters were real-ish, sure. Her protagonist was very annoying and very real. But everyone here. Even the poorly sketched mobs and crowd scenes? Shen Qingqiu sighed. He began to elucidate a complicated moral parallel via an early Gundam series Miho had never actually seen. He got a few minutes into it before she managed to stop him. Shen Qingqiu wallowed for a moment in his disgust, lamenting Miho's youth and her failure to take advantage of the great cultural opportunities their home universe had provided them while she had a chance. He then started over.
You're still trying not to know these are real people who you affect. It's fine to steal the idol because that village is populated with extras. But that's a textbook early-stage isekai response. If you let yourself think about it, you know it's stupid. This place is bigger than the inside of any one person's mind.
Certainly this world was bigger than Airplane could have dreamt of, in his papa philosophy. But really, no one could have invented every blade of grass in this valley. The never-described canyon their vantage point overlooked. The processes of weather and geology necessary to create both. If they were meaningfully inhabiting a medieval Asia, then that was so much vaster even than the storyline of an emperor like Luo Binghe. It was a million people banking and growing tea, carrying out labor that Shang Tinghua simply hadn't understood. The clothes on Shen Qingqiu and Takami Miho's backs had required sheep and shepherds, weavers, wagons, and cartwrights. All those people had extra narrative interactions, lived whole lives just so a host or main character could pass them in the market once. The barest instantiation of a story involved, necessitated, so much raw universe.
So don't go killing anyone because you can, Shen Qingqiu advised Takami Miho. Because you think you're supposed to, and you haven't tried everything in your power to get out of it. If you don't regret it now, one day you'll change your mind. One day this place will be your home, and then it'll be too late to take the things you've done here back.
Takami Miho let herself drop down in the grass. Scrubby meadow growth cushioned her cheek. It smelled as vegetal and alive as she could wish. Realer, even, than her distant rural childhood memory of the last time she'd laid in the grass like this. It was a strange thing to warn someone about. Decent advice, certainly, and given in good time. But it left Miho wondering what the man who said it had done to earn his caution. She hadn't yet given thought to still being in this world in a decade, in two or three. She wondered what that would feel like, what she and this world would do to one another in all those years. Yeah, she murmured after a moment. Yeah. Another passed before she spoke again. I think it was easier just to... She sighed. Even though I know this genre, people always realize it counts. That's how this goes. Why hadn't Miho thought it would happen to her? What was she trying to protect herself from? It wasn't as if she could go back. Well, Shen Xingqiu exhaled. No one in pain or danger is ever as smart as they were on paper, especially not before they get experience in. Consolation, Miho supposed, of a sort, as much as he was prepared to offer her any. So, are there more of us, do you think? Takumi Miho wondered, looking up at the sky. Are we all, like, off in bordering story fiefdoms? Airplane and I share what used to be Proud Immortal Demon Way, Shen Xingqiu corrected her. But he's been here decades without running into anyone but me. I'm under the impression that this novel was structurally weak and that we stabilized it. By living here, nourishing a stable environment that can host multiple plots, maybe we've managed to create a branch seedling, like a splinter universe or a genre cluster. Shen Yuan vaguely wondered whether this could be how universes usually started. Could he and Takumi Miho even be certain that they were from the exact same place? Honestly, if Bleach had ended better in his home universe, he'd take it. Maybe their own homes had begun like this, calved off from something bigger, a little world nurtured with investment until it grew robust and became a full-fledged universe in its own right, with stable universal laws that solidified as you observed them. How then did such a process start? Did someone pour enough hours of labor or love into a work and strike a spark? Had Airplane rose and ground this world into being? Had Shen Yuan wanted Luo Bingha so much that one day, the universe had given him to him? Anyway, he said, dismissing his own unquiet thoughts. It's not the sort of question my system likes to answer. You got a system? Takumi Miho asked, sitting up with indignation. All I got was a character customization screen. You got character customization? Shen Xingqiu responded, indignant right back. Takumi Miho frowned at him. I mean, I'd have bet money that you did, given, She gestured at his general air of celestial twinkiness. Looks-wise, this guy was definitely too winning. Immortality had done well on Netflix. She understood that reference. Shen Xingqiu huffed. This is my Xianxia Sona. The system just shoved me into someone who looked about 40% like me. I once wound up hiding in a close copy of my old body, and it took my husband a hot minute to recognize me and call bullshit. You were a web novel neat who looked 40% like this, Takumi Miho asked, her voice flat. Shen Xingqiu felt amorphously attacked, yet unclear on what exactly he was being criticized about. It was like a surprise visit from his aunties. I was in education, thank you. Anyway, how much could you have possibly changed your appearance in a little PlayStation loading screen? He sneered. I mean, I used to have a penis, for one, Takumi Miho countered. Ah, Shen Xingqiu said, looking extremely embarrassed. Oh no, I mean this was... Takumi Miho gestured to her body. My call, not like system took my penis or anything. Huge relief, honestly. This blinking cursor asked me, do you want a male physical avatar? And I thought... Oh wow, actually I really do not, no. Transmigration, baby! Oh, right. As an early 20s edgelord, Shen Yuan had been painfully self-critical. By extension, he had been everything critical. He had occasionally said careless things about people in Miho's position, because he'd been frantically avoiding considering the ways he himself might differ from the norm. The strain of this hypervigilance had made Shen Yuan edgy, paranoid. It had circumscribed his academic work like an invisible wall. He'd been seriously negligent with a body that had sometimes felt like his enemy. In the real world, Shen Yuan had never actually been the person he'd thought he was, or had tried to be. Guarded and wary, he had not always discovered in himself and offered up the decency that he now found came naturally to him. Mencius argued that people were naturally good. Unless socialized away from decency, any human would instinctively try to save a drowning child. That hadn't always felt as true and important to Shen Yuan as it did now. He had lived, in the 9 years since his death, had altered himself as much as he had proud immortal demon Wei. By now, Shen Qingqiu felt like his name, even more than Shen Yuan did. So Shen Qingqiu could see what Miho meant, even if her experience wasn't exactly his own. He could understand becoming yourself in a place such as this. And if anyone ever tried being cruel to Bingha about his orientation and the way Shen Yuan had been casually cruel to himself about his, Shen Qingqiu would have their fucking eyes. It mattered not at all to Shen Qingqiu that Luo Bingha could more than defend himself. And given his stance on that, he certainly owed Takumi Miho commensurate grace. "You said you needed to power up," Shen Qingqiu continued after a pause, "and that you didn't know what you were doing yet." "Well?" He cleared his throat. "I've grown somewhat accustomed to training disciples since coming here." "You'd take me on?" Miho looked up at him and found that he'd come to stand before her. He extended a hand to lift her to her feet. "Someone has to. You're a mess," he sighed. "But we'll get you sorted. You really are going to be all right, Miho," he said with a slight, certain smile, like he was confident about it, like he was going to see to it that she was. And Miho, who'd been alone and on the run almost since arriving in this world, sort of felt like crying about it, honestly. Takumi Miho looked into the eyes of the demonic emperor, black as the starless night, exactly as Liu Xiumianhua had promised, and swallowed hard. While flying her up to Qingqing Peak on his sword, katanas did not come with that functionality, like, at all. Shen Qingqiu had prepared Miho for this introduction about as well as he could. "Whatever you do, don't call me Shusun in front of my husband. It'll annoy him, and he is not a man you want to annoy. Anything less formal would be disrespectful, and he won't like that much better. Go with Japanese loanwords to avoid the question. Sensei is best. You can call him senpai. Just try to make it clear that you're calling him senpai as in my husband, rather than senpai as a replacement for Shishyong. Because there you run into the same hell as other disciples problem." En route, they'd passed a random farmer. Shen Qingqiu had paused, circled back, flown them down, and asked Takumi Miho to explain her whole transmigration to this poor guy, in the vernacular Middle Chinese her initial language learning stat buff had thankfully allowed her to pick up. The old man had just looked at her like she was stark raving, darting, "Are you hearing this shit? I presume you're taking this cursed girl to a healer," glances over to Shen Qingqiu the whole while. Miho was shocked that had worked. Back in not yet Kyoto, this sort of explanation was an absolute red flag. It was clever of Shen Qingqiu to figure out the technicality. It was like when you steeled your nerve and stole Liu Bu's horse, red hair, and Dynasty Warriors, then ran the fuck away while he gave unrealistically fast chase on foot. The guy's range was long, but it wasn't infinite. Apparently, they were now standing outside it. After their encounter with the farmer, Shen Qingqiu had coached Takumi Miho extensively. She was to tell Luo Bingha that transmigrators often weren't allowed to reveal their status, even when they really wanted to. That their actions were sometimes dictated by an inflexible plot that could take out them and even the universe they inhabited if they failed to play their parts in the awful turns of a partially predetermined destiny. so Shen Tingqiu was evidently hoping, between her testimony and his protagonist husband's ability to connect the dots, to bypass his own region lock. God, it had to suck to never be able to discuss any of this shit with your own partner. Especially given all the Chunshan typical drama the two of them had been through, and how close the fluffier follow-up ballads indicated they were. Shen Tingqiu really was doing her a solid in taking her under his wing. Takami Miho couldn't have hoped for a better internship, so like, yeah, why the fuck not? Miho's willingness to act as the couple's go-between faltered slightly in Shen Tingqiu's cozy, pleasant reception room. The stuff of a million cottagecore mood boards. At the sound of their arrival, a man had emerged from the kitchen in an apron. He was as weird handsome as Shen Tingqiu, so, like, three guesses as to whether this was the male lead. He purred, "Shizun," in a way that made Miho understand, fully and immediately, why Shen Tingqiu had nixed her own use of the term. The demonic emperor's big bright eyes narrowed, however, when they swung to Takami Miho. The strange bindi thing on his forehead seemed to glow redder in a kind of fuck-off-out-of-my-cottage danger zone way. His big curls were coated with a light dusting of flour like he'd been baking bread. Miho was pretty sure that he could somehow kill her with his full-of-secrets hair alone, and might do it, too, if she tried to stay for dinner. "Bingha," Shen Tingqiu said. His tone went sticky slow and burnt sugar indulgent, like what it'd sound like if a Taiwanese brown sugar bubble tea learned to talk. The sweet pour of Shen Tingqiu's voice snapped Luo Bingha's gaze back to his husband and eased Luo Bingha's shoulders. He looked suddenly younger, his gaze more open. So Shen Tingqiu was the top then. Huh. Guess it sort of makes sense, given the presumed if not actual age gap. If not Shen Tingqiu's whole, like, twink aesthetic, TM. This must be what he'd meant when he'd said the legends were sometimes erroneous. "Bingha, this is Takami Miho," Shen Tingqiu began in Middle Chinese, "who I've taken on as an apprentice. She'll be sort of outer disciple."
A new disciple, Shuzun.
Luo Bingha responded mildly, dusting flour off his large, strong, yaoi hands. How was he making dusting off flour menacing? How? The emperor then used a surge of red demonic chi to burn away any remaining impurities. It felt like a pointed escalation. "You seem to still be in my cottage." "Her origins are most interesting," Shen Tingqiu continued, apparently not even a little deterred by the attitude Spooky Uke was copping with him. Like this shit was normal to Shen Tingqiu. "Husband," Shen Tingqiu said, and he swallowed. There was an earnest light in his eyes. "I think you'll find her story very instructive, if Providence will allow her to tell it. I must beg you to attend her carefully, to thoroughly consider her words." Shen Tingqiu seemed more comfortable with this formal register than Miho herself was, as yet. Like this manner of speaking was as real to him as Japanese, or even his native modern Chinese. Just him, in translation. The intensity of Shen Tingqiu's appeal fixed Luo Bingha's attention.
"Shusun, is something wrong?"
Shen Tingqiu shook his head. "No, or rather, nothing new. In fact, I hope that soon a great many things might be made right.
Bingha, please."
Bewildered but obedient, Luo Bingha lowered himself to the floor, urged down by his husband's hand on his shoulder. He sat across the table from where Takami Miho had knelt, at Shen Tingqiu's direction. Shen Tingqiu took a deep breath and exhaled it. His hand clenched on his fan. It had gone white at the knuckles.
"Miho?"
he asked. His voice was admirably steady, as though this wasn't much to him either way. Miho wanted to learn the trick of that one off him, too. She nodded. Takami Miho opened her mouth and managed to begin by telling a wide-eyed Luo Bingha that she'd been born in a city that had never yet existed. The end. If you've enjoyed this story, please leave feedback to the author. You can do that at a link to the text through this Podfix post. And if you've enjoyed this Podfix, you're also welcome to leave me feedback. I'd love to hear from you. Thanks for listening.